Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you very much, Miranda. Next speaker is Frances Donors, Chair of the Youth Justice Board. Frances.
Brilliant. Okay, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Really pleased to be here because this is such an important subject for anyone who's interested in young people and especially those young people who are at risk of offending, those who are in some way in trouble or likely to get into trouble. I found the first sessions really fascinating because it's great to be around when things are developing, when such an important role as the Police and Crime Commissioner is taking off, and in a sense all sorts of possibilities are there, which are always greater than a bit later on when things settle down a bit. And at the moment, the Home Office isn't trying to tell them to do anything at the moment, as far as I know, and hopefully it will stay that way. What I also think is true, and it's quite exciting as well, is that I don't think government, in terms of departments, have any idea really of where this is all going to lead. And that's potentially really good, because it means an opportunity for change, which could be really beneficial. And I take the point Miranda's made totally about the importance of developing under the influence and with the partnership of the Police and Crime Commissioner in each area, a sort of a new strategic view which will really influence what happens in crime and justice in an area. Certainly don't think the central government departments have any idea really about the potential there, and I think it's a really good thing that can happen. What I want to just briefly go through is why police and crime commissioners are very important for youth justice. Well, it's fairly obvious. Police and crime commissioners are responsible for setting the policing priorities for their area, so that's absolutely core business for those of us involved with young people. They will allocate the youth crime prevention funding, but again, I endorse what Miranda said, which is this is the time now to not just be thinking about individual funding streams, but to be thinking about how budgets can be used strategically and often pooled by all the relevant agencies to get the results we want, the outcomes we want. And that will be for young people, but obviously for much wider groups in every area. The responsibility of the Police and Crime Commissioner is to promote joined-up working. There's a duty of cooperation placed on criminal justice agencies, and that is really helpful. It means that the Police and Crime Commissioner, in a way, can add a new element locally to that absolute need to coordinate, bring together, promote joint working, all the things that are really obviously deliver results, and to an extent already do, but there's a new kid on the block, I think, is really going to help focus on that, and I really welcome that. And I think in probably almost all areas it will be a wholly positive new role. And of course, as all of us in the criminal justice system, the Police and Crime Commissioner's job is to try to seek to increase public confidence, which is, as we know, not the easiest thing to do. So we in youth justice really have complete alignment of objectives. I just want to say very briefly something about youth justice system, because not everybody knows how it works and it is awfully complicated. As a result of the changes made about 13 years ago, there were fundamental changes to a system that just didn't work at all. The very complex system, which involves all these organisations, was brought together really by developing the Youth Justice Board nationally and youth offending teams locally, multi-agency teams. We've been hugely successful in bringing together, you know, those key partners, probation, police, health, children's services, magistrates, to deliver results which are really quite impressive, even though, of course, there's huge amounts still to do. And so I think what I would say to anyone involved with the development of police and crime commissioner roles is to recognise that youth offending teams they were, in a sense, pioneers of partnership, something we now expect of every public and everybody interested in delivering services to the public. So they are very good at it. They tend to be quite strategic. They tend to know all the key players in an area, and they are very focused on getting results. You know, there will be exceptions, of course, but I find generally in an area, youth offending teams are much more flexible, much more innovative, much more willing to change what they're doing, why they're doing it, as long as they're working with people who actually want to improve things and make change for the better. So I think we need to help the offending teams in each area need to really help their police and crime commissioners support that kind of changing approach and attitudes that's going to make a great deal of difference. And of course, part of the system is the provision of custody for young people, and the Youth Justice Board directly commissions the 25 secure units for young people across England and Wales. And again, I mean, I think this is a real opportunity for police and crime commissioners to have some engagement with their local youth offending, young offender unit institution or secure children's homes. So the secure units, which are holding children with the most complex needs, the most challenging children. And it's good to see Peter here from the Governor of Hindley, YOI, because I think a relationship between police and crime commissioners and those who are looking after some of our most vulnerable children has got a real potential, because the secure system for children tends to be closed. Well, it's closed, obviously. Tends to be hidden, and the more it's not hidden, the better that is. And police and crime commissioners are really important players in that now. So our role is to basically lead the youth justice system. Because it's so complex and because everything is run by somebody else, more or less, apart from the commissioned units that we have for children in custody, our role is very much about influencing and partnerships which deliver results. It's often quite hard to explain how we make things happen, but I can assure you we do. We are, of course, absolutely required to identify and promote good practice, and it seems to me that's a key role now. As police and crime commissioners develop, there will be good practice developing in areas that, you know, innovation, and very much part of our job to make sure that youth offending teams know what's going on across the system and can pick up the new ideas that are coming, really good ideas that are already coming out in local areas. So our role is to provide leadership and make sure a very complex system joins up and works. So the statistics, just to give you a sense, every year, well, in the last year anyway, we've had about 250,000 children arrested. This is a really timely reminder to say that 95% of all children never get into any kind of trouble with the law at all. It's kind of quite important to say that, because we tend to focus, obviously, on the ones who are heading that way. 72,000 court disposals, and any sort of year now, it's going down each year, but about 85,000 children supervised by YOPS. That's in England and Wales. So that's quite a lot, but it's now much more young people who are more at the serious end of offending. And in October, the more recent figures haven't yet been published because they have to be validated before they're published, about 1,600 children in custody. But I can tell you the figure has dropped significantly since then. So I just want to spend 2 minutes on the fact that there have been really major achievements in youth justice. I don't want to sound complacent, though, because the reoffending rate for children across the youth justice system is still 35%, and it's not really gone down significantly over the last 10 years. It's arguable that it has, because we're now dealing with a hardcore of offenders, but it's certainly not the improvement we would want. Having said that, there's been a massive reduction in young people who get into the justice system in the first place, and that's absolutely a result of partnership working, particularly with the police, to make sure young people get diverted early on, that they do not end up in court when there's no need for them to be in court. And those years when we had the system clogged up with children who should never have gone near a court, those days are gone, and we're much, much better now through things like triage schemes and massive diversion and restorative justice schemes, community resolution schemes. They're all different in different places, but that's fine. If it works locally, it's really good. And also, the other thing to note is a massive reduction of the number of children in custody, and that's because of fantastically good joint working between youth offending teams, the courts particularly, and the other key partners, children's services, obviously, making sure if children do not need to be in custody, if they can have an appropriate community sentence and that's safe for them and for the community, that's what they should have. So really important improvements, massive results, really. Having said that, there are still children committing serious crimes, there's still the public feeling at risk from young people, and of course there's still many children who are victims, so there are still plenty of things to worry about. Now, the police are absolutely key partners. I mean, if I was to say one thing, apart from the multi-agency working, that had been the key success factor for youth offending teams, it would be the police. The fact that police have been seconded frontline police are seconded into youth offending teams. That has been the key, and I would fight to the death to defend that model, because that is frontline policing. Those police officers in that team, they make a huge difference to the effectiveness of the team. They are there in uniform when they need to be with young people, when they need to behave like police officers. But when they don't need to behave like police officers, they're there, but they're giving that very important aspect of criminal justice within the team. So combination social workers, probation, health, police, I can't tell you how effective that can be. Well led, there is nothing more effective than that. And we want that to continue. So on the odd occasion when the Chief Constable has thought he or she didn't need to put police officers seconded into the youth offending team, we have gone in there like mad. There's absolutely, it's clear in the statute, but nevertheless, we want it to be done through people understanding that that's the important way to operate. So these are things that police and crime commissioners need to sort of work out for themselves, see that some of them, of course, are very familiar with the setup already, but not all of them. And we need to make sure they understand why that works, why it matters, and why it can't be just changed around, because obviously there are big pressures on budgets. And it's important that police are on youth offending team management boards as well, that the police are there when the strategic stuff is being discussed about how can we improve things for young people and the community, how can we make the community safer locally. And nationally, we replicate that, the Youth Justice Board with ACPO, and we do a massive amount of joint work with ACPO. And I think now we've got this new element, the policy element, strategic element, as well as the policing operational element, we will want to develop a national relationship between YJB and the Association of Police and Crime Commissioners, because these are two very important aspects of the same agenda, and we want to make sure we can help influence and work jointly with both. So it's all really exciting, and I just to give you an idea of the sort of things we do with ACPO. We have a very good relationship with ACPO. They have a lead Chief Constable, Jackie Cheer, from Cleveland, and ACPO work to make sure that approaches to children and young people are disseminated, good practice and approaches, new ideas which we work on with them, are disseminated across the whole of the policing system. And it has really delivered in terms of preventing youth crime, working with children's services and very often with voluntary community sector organisations to prevent young people and to divert them from core. Sharing information, as you know, is absolutely fundamental. There's more and more, thank God, happening of that now, but it's still, you know, still plenty more to do. Out-of-court disposals, focus on restorative justice. Safer schools partnerships were developed between ACPO and YJB many years ago and have now become quite embedded in many areas. If you have a police officer embedded in school, regular relationship, you get a positive role models, you get a positive view of the police by young people, and you get early intelligence about issues that are arising. And many schools find that very helpful. Some schools to start with thought it was a bad idea because it would look as though their school had trouble. But actually, sensible schools realise that this is a very positive model, and we very much encourage it. And we work with ACPO on other things like reducing criminalisation of children in children's homes. Do you know that many children in children's homes will be sent to court for things that your son or my son would have done around the home or just outside the home and would have been told off for, had their video games taken away, maybe lost their pocket money or something. But children in children's home can end up in court and sometimes even in custody for something that should never ever have got to court. So, and it's about how we work with the police to make sure the police respond to those sorts of situations in a way that's appropriate. So there's masses of these things that we work on. But just to draw to conclusion about the sort of things that are already happening now with the new Police and Crime Commissioner's involvement. We are very keen, and we've supported YOTS through the last 12 months, really, to get them to engage with Police and Crime Commissioner candidates and now, obviously, Police and Crime Commissioners to talk about the work they do, the innovative work they do. In Hartlepool, a very small youth offending team, for example, really small, because it's a small borough, but they've decided to organise their team based in secondary schools. So they're quite embedded in secondary schools, and they find that works really well because they can focus on young people before trouble really takes off, before they're expelled, before they become completely disengaged. Because we know that as soon as children are not in school, that they're heading in the wrong direction. If young people are not causing trouble to their community by the time they're 14, then on the whole, they probably won't. Doesn't mean it's not an absolute, but they probably won't. And that's, you know, that's what we have to focus on, prevention. In Southend, you know, the YOT team goes out regularly at night with the police, and they work on dealing with children who are on the streets who shouldn't be, working out what's wrong in their lives, getting to back to parents if there are any, talking to the schools, all the things you need to get in early. So, and in Suffolk, they got a programme which focuses absolutely on 8 to 13-year-olds at risk. Now, all over the country, youth friending teams have been doing this for a while. Now, much of this work now is moving more widely into children's services and so on. That's absolutely fine. One thing that you won't find about youth friending team, they won't be, and they certainly shouldn't be, too precious about who does what, but they will be precious about whether it's done at all. And they will be good partners to work with in making sure these things. And I would just like to make a quick mention of fire and rescue services. These are very quiet heroes, in my view, fire and rescue services, all over the country. They make as a major part of their work with young people, especially preventive work with young people who are getting into crime. They are fantastic. They work with our secure estate. They do schemes. Fire officers are massively good role models for young people. One can imagine that a police being a role model, it's a little bit difficult for children who are in the offending stage of their career. But fire officers are hugely successful in that role. And working with organisations like Prince's Trust and so on, very, very successful. We need to make sure all that sort of stuff goes on. And the VCS, voluntary community sector, are fundamental to youth justice. They have been able to deliver innovative schemes, they are flexible, and they are very good partners for youth offending teams. So we hope very much that police and crime commissioners will get to understand that, if they don't already, and help support it. So a couple of examples where the PCC is already very much working, responding to youth offending teams. And I think it's really encouraging how quickly relationships are developing between youth offending teams. Sometimes one youth offending team, if that's the same area, or sometimes more if there's several in one area. And the strategic joint meetings are starting all over the country now between PCCs and YOTS. And I agree with Miranda, I think there's a real potential for change here. There's lots of statutory requirements for this plan, that plan, the other plan. I think now we've got police and crime commissioners, I mean, it can't change overnight, but I think that there will be and should be a willing partners to come together and find the best way of doing the planning so it makes sense for a particular area, and that all the various organisations don't have to duplicate all that. That might take a bit of convincing some of the government departments, but I think this is, as Alan says, I think, you know, police and crime commissioners can make a big impact here, and let's do something that works for the locality and not tie everyone in knots with the previous requirements. So many police and crime commissioners have started by holding a youth summit. Several of them have done this or are doing it, bringing together young people, especially remembering that not all young people commit crime, and engaging with young people is really important part of what the work of the police and crime commissioners. Some have started quarterly meetings with heads of YOTS. Whether these are appropriate levels of engagement depend entirely on the logistics and the geography of areas, but I think police and crime commissioners of goodwill will want to find the right way to engage with their youth offending services, partly because young people are so important, but partly as well because there's a sort of level of experience and strategic operation that YOTS have, which I think is very valuable to police and crime commissioners. And there's potential for police and crime commissioner policy representation on YOTS management boards. I think that probably would only take place in the very big ones. But, you know, the potential's there. And youth offending team management boards, sometimes they're called youth justice partnership boards, are very welcoming to any partner that's interested in supporting the work with young people in their area. So, and finally, I just want to say a general word about the Police and Crime Commissioner role in listening to the voice of young people. We've been very, we have very much encouraged in everything we do, not only in our own commissioning of Secure Estate, we try to listen to the voice of young people in our own estate, for example, you know, in custody with us. We use many mechanisms to find out what they think about things, to try and involve them in policy changes and so on. And we very often use organisations like User Voice, which are made up of former offenders, because we find it's much easier for young people to relate to those people in User Voice organisation. They're a very successful organisation. But we feel really strongly that everybody who's dealing with young people, everyone's dealing with young people, especially those who are at risk of offending, needs to be thinking about what is the young person's voice here. You know, what do young people think about? this? What would they like? Now, of course, we can't necessarily have whatever young people want, but certainly our experience is the more you listen, you get different messages, you get a different perspective. And if you're genuinely open to listening, then you can usually do something which is actually quite different from what you would have done. And I'm sure that police and crime commissioners, being democratically elected, absolutely will want to do that in every possible way, with all children, with all young people, but especially to be able to listen to those young people who are in the most difficulty, who've had really struggled in their lives to actually be happy, to be useful people in society and not to cause trouble for their community. Some of them are the most damaged young people we're dealing with now, and we must listen to them. We must listen to their voice. We've got to be concerned about their victims, but we've got to be concerned about them, because otherwise we can't do the things with them and for them that will make the difference so that they can make a positive contribution. So as a general sort of plea, really, that this is a really important aspect, I think, of what police and crime commissioners will be doing. So in conclusion, I think this is a huge opportunity. I feel really excited about this, because when change is around, I know budgets are restricted, but I've never been a person who thought that restricted budgets stop you actually making changes for the better. And this is a real time when police and crime commissioners can play a really key role. And I really look forward to the changes and benefits that will come to young people as a result. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.